For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Around the Word of God this morning, let's open in prayer, quieten our hearts, and be ready to receive of God. We praise you and thank you, Lord. We thank you for the benefits that you daily load us with. We thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us. We have been blessed through the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask that this morning you open up your treasures of the Word in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. This morning we're looking at do well to take heed. And this is an important area because if you can't heed or listen or hear or pay attention to the Word of God, then you cannot come into the blessing that the Lord wants for you. We know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's inner man hearing. It's not just with your physical ears. And that means that faith must be in the heart and must come out of the heart and expressed in our words and actions. Praise the Lord. Let's first of all look at the scripture in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 and 2. Now, we have in our society today some real problems where the Word of God is not being listened to, the Word of God is not being glorified, the Word of God is being put down all over the place, and people are acting and doing things which are contrary to the Word constantly. That doesn't mean we should be full of fear and worry, because you remember what I was talking about the other day about having a purpose in life, and the Lord has purpose for each one of us, and he'll show you as you seek him, as you understand through his word what he wants you to do and how he wants you to live. Let's have a look at what it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, starting verse 1. It says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." So let's have a look at a few things from here. So we see that we should be directing our prayer to specific things, and particularly with respect to the church, we should be praying that for the ministry of the word, that the word of the Lord may have free course. May have free course. That suggests that the word of the Lord in some places might not have free course or freedom to be preached or shown or presented or listened to even. For example, you can go into educational institutions now, schools, universities and so on, and if you preach certain things straight from the Word of God, they won't receive it at all. And this is something which has to be done in our society, and that is that there has to be an opening of the Word of God to have free course. An opening for that. And notice it says, and also, and be glorified. And be glorified. So in other words, the Word of God is honoured, is shown to be God's word in truth, and the people honour it and they say, yes, I believe it. They don't try to put it down. They don't say the Bible is worthless or just another religious book or is the words of man. But they say, no, the Bible is precious. The Word of God is precious. There has to be this understanding in our society which is quite not here or not present in our society at the moment, which is that the Bible is more than just words printed on a page. Jesus said, "My words are spirit and life." So it affects the inner man. And currently there's not that spiritual knowledge present in our society at all. Now notice what it says at the very end of verse 3, "even as it is with you." So you and I, as believers in Christ, should have the word of the Lord having free course in our life. Okay? And it should be glorified in our lives as well. In other words, you know, if the word has been preached to you and shown, and you've been shown various doctrines such as how to live by faith and so on, such as being filled with the Spirit, such as, you know, study to show thyself approved of the Word of God, such as prayer and so on, and fellowship. And yet, you have blocked those things, or, you know, the Lord doesn't have access into your life around those things. Or, oh yes, I'll listen to that part, but I won't listen to that part. Then you're blocking the free course of the Word of God. But Paul's saying to the Thessalonians that the Word of God had free course with them. In other words, there was a freedom amongst them, a course or way for them to receive it, to believe it, to act in it. And also the Word of God was glorified amongst them as well. It was upheld. It was upheld. It was upheld amongst them. So he's saying, look, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified wherever we go, wherever we preach, whatever we're doing in this society, just as it is with you, just as it is with the Thessalonians. And he's saying, verse 2, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. In other words, that the unreasonable and wicked men don't have their way, but the Lord has his way. And the word of the Lord has free course and is glorified. Unreasonable and wicked men will do things like chop the word out of public life, take it away from little children and put filth into their presence. You know, do all types of things with the media. Put all types of programs on that are full of wrong, unbiblical ideas. Push false doctrines such as evolution. All of this is centered around unbelief. Is against the word. But it's not what the Lord wants. And we should be delivered from what they want, the unreasonable and wicked men. Because, as it says there, for all men have not faith. They don't have trust in the Lord. They don't believe the word of God. They think it's fantasy and so on. But we must be people that say, well, you know, I've had the word preached to me and taught to me. It has free course in my life and is glorified in my life. And I'm not going to shut it out. You know, if the word is preached about being filled with the Spirit, I'm not going to shut that out. If the word is preached about walking by faith or healing or prosperity or strength or whatever, I'm not going to shut that out. I'm going to receive it and walk in it and rise up in faith. So the Lord has particular things he wants to do in the earth. And it has to start with the people of God. Because if the people of God are not getting it, as he says there, even as it is with you, if the people of God are not getting it, then how can the church then go out and preach the gospel as it's been instructed in Matthew 18 and Mark 16? Have a look at Hebrews 1, verses 1 to 4. Now we're looking at do well to take heed. There is something that we can do every time we are exposed to the Word of God, every time we come into fellowship, every time we get out of bed and say, Lord, I commit myself to you. I present my body as a living sacrifice to you. Whenever we get out and do that, there are things we can do. We can start to say, and we should say, I am going to listen to you, Lord. I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to cut out some of these things that I shouldn't be listening to or seem to have a tremendous amount of input into my life. Get that out of the way so that I can hear you. Sometimes that might mean just going and sitting down with your Bible somewhere, away from all the distractions, and just say, Lord, speak to me as I look into your word. Or it may mean listening to a sermon preached by the pastor or a minister of God. See, we have to give access to the Lord into our lives. Hebrews 1, starting from verses 1 to 4. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners, okay, so it's the same with us, you know, at various times, sundry times, and in diverse manners, different ways, okay, he's speaking to people, he's trying to get to people. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us, that's you and me, spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So we see, verse 2, it says, in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son. See, we've been spoken to. We've been preached to. He's spoken unto us. He's telling us things. He's telling us things constantly. If you were to listen to the theme, what is the theme being preached at Victory Faith Centre? You will get that thread right through. He's telling me something, and I should be taking heed about what he's telling me. Notice what it says in verse 3, just look at a particular portion there, upholding all things by the word of his power. God's word has power invested in it, and he is upholding all things. Is he upholding you by his word? Yes. Yes. So see how important it is to base your life foundationally on the word of God, if that's how he upholds all things. So when we do things, we're doing it in line with the word. When we say things, we're doing it in line with the word. And we're basing what we do, we say, we think, by the way, the word says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so your thinking must get in line with the word. It's all on the foundation of the word of God. So we do well to take heed, to listen, to meditate on the word. The Bible says meditate on the word. Do it that you may do it. So it's important for us to see where the word has come from. It's come from his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It says that in verse 2. In fact, one of the titles of Jesus is the Word, capital W. We see verse 3, that he upholds all things by the word of his power. He's upholding you and me by the word of his power. And as you understand your purpose in life, your purpose, young, old, whatever, you have a purpose on the earth, because this life is but a vapor, like the flower of the field. Do what God wants you to do now. Take heed. And as I said before, there's a thread that goes right through for the time Victory Faith Center has been here, right through to right into the future. There's this thread that's come through over and over about the Spirit of God, about the Word of God, about the truth, about faith, about life, about the Pentecostal experience in the right way, about understanding the word and basing your life on that. Over and over and over and over. Over and over and over and over. 2 verse 1. Hebrews 2 verse 1. Let's look at what he says here. 2 verse 1 says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to those things which we have, what? Heard. Lest at any time we should let them slip. So can you let slip what you've heard? You can. You can. Does the devil want you to let slip what you've heard? He does. Does he want you to forget what you've heard? Of course. Does he want you to remember what you've heard? Not at all. Does he want to give you plenty of distractions so that you don't hear? Of course he does. You've got to understand, the Bible says we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. We should not be ignorant of what he's doing. We're in the natural world. Yes, there's all types of distractions, but we are not natural people. If you're born again, you are a spiritual person. You are a person now who is rooted and grounded in the Word of God. So, verse 1 is a very important one for us to take hold of. It says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed. Earnest. You've got to be serious about it. Serious about giving heed to the things which we have heard. Now that might mean going to the website, Victory Faith Centre, and downloading a few sermons that have been preached in the past and listening to them again. It might mean going to a godly ministry and looking at what they have to offer as well. It might mean looking at some godly material and books rather than concentrating on worldly magazines and newspapers. It might mean putting a bit of effort. Do you see what I'm saying? Doesn't it say that there? We ought to give the more earnest heed to those things which we have heard. Why? Why should we? Lest at any time we should let them slip. Is there a danger of people letting things slip? Truly a great danger. You know, I've talked with backsliders, and some of them at one time knew quite a lot, but they let it slip. They let the devil get his way, and they let it slip. And then, you know what happens? All types of other things start to crowd their mind and their heart, and the weeds come in and choke the word, and eventually some of them, or a lot of them, go right out of the kingdom of God. And that's a dangerous thing. So we who are people of God, we should say, I am going to give the more earnest heed to the things which I've heard, lest at any time I should let it slip. Let's not let things slip. And we have to continually wash ourselves with the water of the Word of God. That's what Ephesians 5 tells us. Wash ourselves with the water of the Word of God. Wash ourselves. Why? Because the filth of the world. We don't know. And until we're in heaven, we don't realise just how filthy this sinful world really is. Because this is all we've known, it seems this is the way it's always been. And, you know, we don't know just... I mean, heaven's going to be far, far beyond what we think. For a start off, there won't be any of these distractions that we have on the earth today, full of negativity and hatred against the word and against faith and against truth. Okay? So, we have to be people that are giving earnest heed to the things which we have heard. We don't want to let things slip. We have to be people that understand what the word is saying. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 to 21. 2 Peter 1, verses 19 to 21. If you think about it, one thing that people are sure of is that they're going to die sooner or later. 80, 90, 100, or even 100 plus years. But a lot of people the whole life is centered on this life. The whole thinking is centered on this life. Which, if you think about it, if as a spiritual person you think about it, it's such a foolish thing to do. So the greatest thing you could have in your life is to find out what God wants and what His will is. The Bible says to be filled with the knowledge of His will. What He wants to do in your life, and get involved in that. That's the greatest thing, because it'll go beyond this life into eternity. Beyond what we're doing in this life into what we're going to be doing past this life. We're looking at 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 19 to 21. It says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." So the word is sure, isn't it? It's sure. It's a sure foundation. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Where did the prophecy, the word, the sure word of prophecy come from? Did it come from the imaginations of mankind? Did it come from the will of man? Is that what it's saying? No, it comes from the heart of God. It comes from the Holy Ghost. He's the divine author of the word. And when you understand that, then you'll understand in verse 19 it says, "Whereunto ye do well." Do you want to do well whilst you're on the earth? Yes, I do. Do you? Yes. Praise the Lord. I see one person nodding. Does anyone else want to do well whilst they're on the earth? I see a few people nodding now. Glory to God. That's good. That's good. "Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed." That ye take heed. That ye take heed. Okay, don't let things slip. And you have to dig down. You can't just say, "Oh, well, whatever will be, will be." No, that's not what the Scripture says. "Whatever will be" is not a Scripture. You know that, don't you? "But ye do well that ye take heed." That's part of a Scripture. "As unto a light that shineth in a dark place." If you take heed to the Word of God, you're taking heed to something that can light up your life, light up everything all around you, light up your understanding. It can light up in a dark place. Now those without the word, where are they? They're in a dark place. The Bible says they're in darkness, and it calls them the children of darkness. Why? Because the God of this world hath blinded their minds. And you only have to go and talk with them, and you'll see that's the case. So much more the reason why we should be praying that there be free course for the Word of God and that it be glorified in our society. Because men and women desperately need this light, the light of the Word of God. Now we are told that we do well that ye take heed. Ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. So something's happening in your hearts when you're taking heed. If you ignore the word, or put it aside, or think that it's not working, all those type of things, then the work that it could do in your heart, the lighting up work that it could do in your heart, is not going to happen. But we've been called according to God's purpose, and that's to be conformed to the image of His dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, did Jesus ignore the word of the Father? No. And so if we've been conformed to His image, we shouldn't ignore the word of the Father either. Did Jesus take heed? Indeed he did. He said, my meat is to do the will of him who sent me. So we know that he took heed. He sought out the will of God. He sought out and understood the will of God. Praise the Lord. Now we have to be willing and obedient. Look at Isaiah 1, 18 and 19. Isaiah 1, verses 18 and 19. Now I'm sure we all have heard this, but it shows that there are conditions if we want to live in the perfect will of God. There are conditions for us. It's not whatever will be, it's what do I need to do in order for me to walk in the blessing? Okay? Isaiah 1, verses 18 and 19 says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And verse 19 says, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Verse 20 says, but if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So let's go back to verse 18. So here we see proper spiritual reasoning. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. What the Lord is saying is, look, let's get the sin out of the way. Let's get yourself cleaned up. Let's make sure that sin is not in the way for you to be willing and obedient, for you to listen to what I have to say. And God makes a promise here, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. They can be washed clean, cleansed, remitted. Notice what it says in verse 19. If, now if is a conditional word. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Now that's related to, ye do well to take heed. You do well if you take heed. Okay? Because if you take heed, you'll be willing and obedient, and you shall eat the good of the land. There's got to be a willingness there. See, there's no way that I can come and make a person willing. And God's not going to do it either. And you'll notice in my ministry, I haven't run after people and tried to twist their arms behind their backs and almost carry them into the church. No, if they don't want to hear, if they don't want to be a partaker, if they don't want to be willing and obedient, I have to do what the Lord would do. Let them go. Let them go their own way. But there's a warning attached to that, of course, as it says in verse 20. But if ye refuse and rebel, oh, what a shocking, terrible attitude and way that is. If ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. Many types of swords on the earth. There's the literal swords. There's also the spiritual sword. We know a spiritual sword, don't we? The Bible says the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. There's also swords which the devil uses, the words of the devil. Okay? People can be devoured through that as well. There's also the literal sword, we know that. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So if the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it, we have to give heed to it. It's a sure word. It's come to us. It's a sure word. We should give heed to that word. Go across to Proverbs 25, verse 12. In Proverbs 25, verse 12, it shows us the type of hearing that we should have. Proverbs 25, verse 12. So, if you think back, everything you've heard over the years of the Word of God, do you know there's some people, and you think about it, there's some people who have heard nothing of what you've heard? Isn't that sad? I mean, how many sermons on healing have you heard? How many sermons on faith have you heard? How many sermons on salvation have you heard? How many sermons on prosperity have you heard? How many sermons and teaching have you heard about being filled with the Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Ghost and things like that? How much have you heard that others haven't heard? So how wonderful it must be for you to have been given that opportunity to hear. And how sad it is that some make decisions to refuse and rebel. But this is what God wants in Proverbs 25 verse 12. That's what it says here. As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. An obedient ear is what God wants. An obedient ear. That's an ear that hears. Okay, you may be going through a bit of reproving. That is, you need a bit of correction. Okay, something's not quite right, but the Lord wants you to get you into a place which is right, so that you can reap good things, eat the good of the land, as we saw before. You might be obedient, but not willing. Okay? And that's a problem, isn't it? Well, you can make yourself willing by saying, Lord, I choose to be willing. And I bow the knee. So we have to see here that an obedient ear is crucial. Crucial for getting you on the right track. So you need to take heed to what you hear. To what is coming your way. What the Lord has given you. You know? People have to make a decision. They have to make a decision. Is the pastor speaking a load of rubbish? Or is he preaching according to the word of God? Is it truth or falsity? You know? We have to see that the word of God presented to us is such a valuable thing that we have to give earnest heed. We have to be serious about it. As I said, there's people all around us in the world who haven't even heard one sermon. Not even a sermon about salvation. And yet, you know, if you came up to them and said, well, let me just quote you a scripture. What? I want nothing about that. But what have they heard? They've heard all types of sermons, but not biblical sermons, have they? We've heard all types of words, but not biblical words. So what has to happen in our society is for the free course of the word of the Lord and for the word of the Lord to be glorified. Isn't that right? That's what has to happen. We do well to take heed. Go back to Proverbs 5, verses 1 and 2. Proverbs 5, verses 1 and 2. He says here, my son, he's talking to us as children of God, my son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, which is right judgment, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. Can you see how important it is? Attend. That means put your attention onto. Attend unto my wisdom. God's wisdom is available. We must attend to it. And bow thine ear to my understanding. Bow thine ear means, okay, get into a position where you're going to hear. And say, I will hear what the Spirit has to say. And the Spirit of God is talking all the time. He's talking to the churches. He's talking to us individually. I will hear. It's got to be that willingness, isn't there? Bow your ear to my understanding. Now, some people in the past, I've spoken to them, oh, I just don't understand that. I just don't understand The Bible, I don't understand the Bible. I certainly don't understand the King James Bible. But where does understanding come from? Does it come from just natural reasoning? Or does it come as the Spirit of God gives you that understanding and opens your heart up? That's what happens. The Spirit of God opens your heart up. Okay? You don't want to dumb down the language. You want the words which God has given you. And those words, as the Spirit comes into your heart and talks with you and you attend to His words and you bow your ear to His understanding, that's when God can give you that opening up. That thou mayest regard discretion and that thy lips may keep knowledge. In other words, you get your heart right, you get your lips right, you're keeping knowledge. What are lips like that aren't keeping knowledge? What are they doing? They're speaking all types of foolishness, aren't they? All types of unbelief. Well, see, we can make a choice to speak according to the Word of God. If you go back to Proverbs 4, verse 20 to 22, 20 to 22 says, and we've heard this many times before, but let's look at it again. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. This health to all their flesh is a real key. If you immerse yourself in the Word of God and get it in your heart, because it says keep them in the midst of thine heart, it's a real key. It's a real key for health to all your flesh. Verse 20 says, my son, attend to my words. God's words need for you and I to take heed, to attend to look at, to meditate on. Not to just ignore, refuse, push away, forget. Because that's what the devil wants you to do. This, what we're reading now, is what God wants you to do. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. Now, am I speaking fantasy, or is this what God wants? I believe this is what God wants. We're reading it straight from the Word. And there's a key here. A key for unlocking all types of things in people's lives. A key. If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the fruit of the land. Praise the Lord. There's much more we could say. But you know, you do well to take heed. You do well to rightly divide the Word of God. To get good doctrine into your heart. To understand God's will and purpose in your life. To understand prophetically what's happening in the future. We read about that sure word of prophecy before. All of this is available. But remember, you know, we may have heard dozens, perhaps hundreds of sermons. Don't let it slip. Don't let it slip. You should be getting built up and going forward. Don't let it slip. Don't be like you're on a treadmill and you're just not going anywhere. It's slipping. Because there's so many people who have heard nothing. Heard no biblical sermons. Have been exposed to nothing of Christian teaching. Don't assume that the everyday non-Christian you meet up with has even a rudimentary understanding of Christianity. Many of them don't. Many of them think that when you say Christian, you mean Catholic. Well, that's wrong. So you've got to see the things in the way the Lord wants you to see them. And that's through the Word of God. So I pray that today you've been encouraged to do well to take heed. If you want to do well, then you've got to take heed. You've got to have an attentive heart and an obedient ear. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you for your precious word. We thank you, Lord, for the access that you have given to us, the access to your word, to your spirit that you've given to us. How precious is that? We praise you for that, Lord. And Lord, we ask that you use us as instruments, and we will be attentive. We will attend to your words. We'll keep them in the midst of our heart. Help every one of us. Show us, Lord, your way. Show us the best way, that we don't settle for second best in our life. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord.